Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Last week on Viewpoints, we had an introduction to the iPhone and some of the accessibility features. This week, we're going to delve into a little bit more depth and discuss some more accessibility features and some more advanced things you can do with the iPhone.
But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is, if you read the documentation or join an online forum, you can learn lots of advanced and interesting things that you can do with an iPhone.
Well, that's true. And it does take a little bit more work to learn some of these smartphones and to get to use them effectively. So it's well worth some time, as we're always stressing, to read some documentation, do some searches on the web, and find out a little bit about how to use the device. Otherwise, it can be very frustrating.
So besides listening to us, and goodness knows we don't know everything, and there's just so much we can say in 2 half-hour shows, you can go to the iPhone User Guide, which is conveniently located online at help.apple.com/iPhone/5/voiceover/EN. That's the English language version. Or you can just go to apple.com and search for it, which is probably easier than remembering all of that. Another great way to get information for using the iPhone, especially for blind and low vision users, is the Apple Viz user forum, and that's at www.appleviz.com, spelled APPLEVIS, all one word.
And I found that site to be very useful, particularly in terms of using the iPhone with its accessibility features. Not only is it good for finding some articles and other thoughts people have about using accessibility features on the iPhone, but if you sign up, you can actually post some questions or extra knowledge that you have that you want to share with people, and it's a great place for sharing this information and learning a little bit more.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about some apps that are particularly useful for people with visual impairments and others that are really intended for everybody but happen to be particularly blind-friendly. A couple of weeks ago, in show number 1242, we did the entire show about downloading and reading books directly onto a smartphone, and these apps are great, and in particular for visually impaired people. So we talked extensively about Read2Go from Bookshare, and we talked about Bookshare in addition in show 1231.
And I've had a lot of fun with that application. That really is a great application for reading the Daisy digital books from Bookshare. The voice is great. You can change the speaking rate and all other aspects, the visual screen, and it's really handy.
In that same show, we also talked about the app from Learning Ally, which requires membership in Learning Ally, as does the Read2Go app require membership in Bookshare. And we also talked about Learning Ally in show 1122. And in the same show, 1242, we also talked about the OverDrive Media Console for books you can get from your public library, and that's available to everybody. And we talked more about the OverDrive, actually, as it works on a computer in show 1149.
Now, the first two apps, the Read2Go and Learning Ally apps, are made specifically for the blind and reading Daisy books, particularly with the special kind of navigation that we've become used to with our devices. The OverDrive application, it gives you access to some other material you might not have access to through the normal channels, but unfortunately you can't navigate the books quite as easily, speed up the speech and things like that.
But it is another great source of books.
It works.
So now, here are some other apps that are wonderful for people with visual impairments. How often have you gotten change and wondered what kind of bill you were given? I know in a lot of countries, the larger denominations are larger, but in the United States, they're all the same size and they're all the same color. And If you can't see, they're really hard to tell apart. In fact, they're impossible to tell apart. So the Bureau of Engraving and Printing has made an app called iNote, E-Y-E-N-O-T-E.
And what's neat about that application is no matter what orientation you have the bill in, it will read it to you. For instance, it'll tell you this is the backside of a $20 bill. And it's also free.
And it works great, front or back, right side up, upside down, any which way, and it'll tell you what kind of bill it is. So that's really handy.
Yeah, you might want to check that one out.
The next one is VizWiz, and we talked about that in show 1132, in which we interviewed Jeff Bigham, who was the creator of VizWiz.
Now, that's kind of a cool application. It uses a combination of computer imaging and social networking to tell you what you've taken a picture with your iPhone. So you can point your phone at something, take a picture, and if the item that you're taking a picture of is readily recognizable by a computer, it will just come back and tell you this is a chair, this is a sofa. But if it's not, you can ask your iPhone a question, and people who are online will look at the picture and give you responses. The first time we saw this demoed by Jeff Bigham was when he was giving a seminar. He took a picture of all the people watching his seminar and asked his iPhone, how many people are in this room? And he got the answer.
So those are pretty cool.
Yeah, that can be handy for a blind person.
Another one that's really handy for a blind person, if you happen to be out walking someplace and you want to find your way back, is breadcrumbs. And it works just like breadcrumbs.
And basically the way that works is as you're walking along and navigating, when you come to a corner or a turn or some landmark, you shake your phone, or you can actually hit a button to do this, and it leaves a mark on your GPS system to say this is a point of interest. And then you go on to your next point of interest and drop another breadcrumb, sort of like Hansel and Gretel. And then when you go back along this path, or you go along this path some other time, it will tell you the next breadcrumb is 100 yards ahead at 2 o'clock, and it'll give you a sense of direction. So that can be very handy. And that can also work in conjunction with your mapping program. Now, one warning, there are a lot of applications called breadcrumbs on the App Store. So in the show notes, we put a link to the LookTel site where you can get this specific breadcrumbs program that's written specifically for the blind. So don't be confused by the name.
We'll put a link to each of these apps in the show notes, not just breadcrumbs. And then there are other apps that are convenient for everybody, but happen to be very blind friendly. And in particular, the new mapping apps that are available give voice step-by-step directions, and that's pretty handy, and they're actually usable without being sighted. And in particular, we've taken a liking to MapQuest on the phone.
Now, if you've upgraded to iOS 6, the latest version of the iPhone firmware, you'll have talking maps or turn-by-turn voice navigation available through the Apple mapping software. But a lot of people have complained that these Apple maps aren't that accurate yet. So if you'd like another mapping voice-guided program that's free, you can use the MapQuest. And also, if you haven't upgraded to iOS 6 and you have an earlier device, you can similarly use the MapQuest program to get turn-by-turn or voice-guided navigation.
Another program we find really handy is Around Me, all one word, A-R-O-U-N-D-M-E, and you can use that to find a list of pharmacies or gas stations or grocery stores, restaurants, whatever you're looking for in your neighborhood, museums, train stations, whatever.
And that was particularly handy when we were on vacation, because as Nancy was driving along, I was able to look up where's a restaurant that we might be interested in or some other point of interest. And once we found something that we were interested in, I could simply click on it and it would come up in the mapping software, and then we could guide ourselves there and while she was driving and kept her eyes on the road.
And I just love having a navigator that I can rely on. It's terrific. After 30 years of marriage, it's nice to have Pete be able to help me find my way in places I'm not familiar with.
Finally.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is advanced tips for using the iPhone with a visual impairment. In last week's show, which was number 1245, we demonstrated using the rotor in VoiceOver. This week, we'll show some of the rotor's advanced features and how to customize it.
In the last episode of Viewpoints, we talked about flicking up and down and how you can navigate between different elements on a page, either a web page or a document. And you can navigate by link, by form field, by line, character, word, etc. And that was all controlled by using the rotor on the screen. And the rotor you use by putting two fingers on the screen, holding them there, and then rotating like you were rotating a little knob. And as you rotate this knob by moving one finger up and the other finger down simultaneously, you go through various options as to how you navigate when you flick up or down. One thing I recently learned was that you can actually add and delete some items on the rotor. The way you do this is to go into the settings.
Settings. Double tap to open. Settings.
Scrolling down to General, which is at the bottom of the first screen of settings.
General button. General settings. Back button.
Going way down to accessibility.
Keyboard international. Accessibility button.
Double clicking.
Accessibility. General back button.
And then if I flick right, I'll go down the accessibility options here.
Accessibility. Vision. Head. VoiceOver. On button.
Now I want to click this VoiceOver button.
VoiceOver. Accessibility. Back button.
And this brings me to a special dialog where I can change a lot of the VoiceOver settings. So let's either move our finger down or flick right to keep moving down these options. And way down the bottom, we'll see...
Rotor button.
The rotor button. So I'm going to double tap this item.
Rotor. VoiceOver. Back button.
This gives me a dialog where I can set what is shown in the various rotor options. So let's just keep flicking right or go down the page to see what kind of options we have.
Rotor, heading, selected, characters.
So characters is selected. That means that characters will show up as I turn the rotor.
Reorder characters, button, draggable. Double tap and hold, wait for the sound, then drag to rearrange.
Now this item lets me rearrange in what order I see things on the rotor. So let's skip that and just see what other options I can have available through the rotor.
Selected, words.
Words is another option that appears in my rotor when I turn it.
Reorder words, selected, lines.
Lines is also selected.
Reorder line, speech rate.
Speech rate is not selected. Now it would be nice if from any application I could change the speech rate of VoiceOver. The way I've done that before I found out about this rotor option was to go into settings, general, accessibility, VoiceOver, and then change the rate there. And that's kind of a nuisance if you want to keep changing the speech rate. So I'm going to double tap this item.
Selected, speech rate.
And speech rate is now selected, so it should appear as one of my rotor options.
Reorder speech rate, volume.
I can check to change the volume of VoiceOver. That may be a good thing, too, because I can change the volume of VoiceOver relative to the volume of other items that are coming through the phone.
Selected. Volume.
So now that should appear in my rotor.
Hints.
I can choose to show different hints on the screen. So some of these are not checked, so these aren't going to appear in my rotor options. I don't want to select these all because then I'll have to just turn the rotor too many times to find an option that I might want to use. But mostly I like to choose between navigating by links, words, characters. I kind of like these options to be able to change the VoiceOver reading rate and perhaps volume. And there are a bunch of other options in here that you can add to the rotor as to how you can navigate when you flick up and down. Now let's see how we can use some of those rotor settings. I'm going to put two fingers down and rotate them, like I have a little knob there.
Characters.
And I can navigate by characters. Now, I happen to be in an article from the New York Times about social media. So let's see what happens if I flick down.
Capital S-I-T-E-S.
S-I-T-E-S. So that was the word sites. If I rotate again with the rotor.
Form controls. Links. Headings. Volume. Speech rate. Lines.
Now that I'm set on lines, if I flick down or up, I go to the next or previous line. Let's try that. I'll flick down.
Sites that pay the shopper for being a seller.
I'll flick again.
By Stephanie Clifford.
I'll flick again.
Last updated, 1:22 p.m. ET.
So now instead of giving me a character at a time, it gives me a line at a time. Now, if you remember from the previous show, if I take two fingers and swipe down, it will read the page continuously from where I am to the bottom. Let's try that.
Last updated, 1:22 p.m. ET. Julie Medeiros thinks her taste in fashion is worth something. Turns out it is, about $50 a month.
And I can stop VoiceOver again by taking two fingers and tapping the screen once. Now let's go back to that rotor where we had the speed controls, and I'll show you how I can change the speed of VoiceOver if I want to get through this article a little bit faster.
Speech rate.
So there's the speech rate rotor item, and if I flick up and down, I can change the speech rate. Let's flick down.
25%, 20%.
So that lowers it. If I flick up,
25%, 30%, 35%.
I'm flicking up.
40%, 45%, 50%, 55%, 60%, 65%.
And you can hear her voice is speeding up.
70%.
And now, if I take two fingers and swipe down, it should read a lot faster.
Sites by Stephanie Clifford. Julie Medeiros thinks her taste in fashion is worth something. Turns out it is, about $50 a month.
Now again, I'll tap with two fingers to stop it. And if I want to change the speed back, since the rotor is still on the speed control, I can flick down.
65%, 60%, 55%, 50%, 45%, 40%.
I'm flicking.
35%, 30%.
That sounds like a good rate.
NYTimes.com plus smartphone app and limited access to NYTimes.com.
And then if I want to navigate by word, line, or link, again, I can just change the rotor. So the rotor is very useful, and the ability to put different items in the rotor and leave different items out can be even more useful. If you investigate that and figure out how you're using the phone most and for what applications, you can customize the rotor to your own taste.
Pete just demonstrated how to change the speech speed using VoiceOver, and he had that handy rotor setting where he got so many percent of the maximum speed. For sighted people, the way you change the speed, there's a slider with a picture of a turtle on one end and a rabbit on the other.
That's pretty funny. I never knew that.
So just as it's possible to assign too many things to the rotor and confuse yourself and make it cumbersome that way, it's also possible to have too many apps open at once. And Pete learned this the hard way, hung up the entire iPhone. We had to go ask some genius at the Apple store how to fix the problem. So we're giving you good advice here on how to avoid that.
When that happened, I thought my phone had broken and that the battery had exhausted itself forever.
Turned out he had just clogged up the memory too much and it was hung up.
It was a software problem.
Here's how not to have that happen.
Just like any computer, which the iPhone is, it can be running many applications in the background, or sometimes you can have so many applications running that it will clutter up memory and it could lead to your iPhone slowing down. So how do you take care of this? How do you clean up memory and sort of close down applications? Well, the iPhone has a provision for that. It's called the App Switcher. And the way you get to the App Switcher is by double-clicking the Home button at the bottom of the screen in the center.
App Switcher. Read to go. Double tap to open.
And it tells me I'm in the App Switcher. Now, this has a list of all the applications that are running in the background or are currently open. And it also tells me, for instance, for this Read to Go application, which we reviewed a few weeks ago, that if I double tap it, I can open it. Now, let's flick right and see what other applications are running in the background.
Mail, one new item. Double tap to open.
I have mail. Again, I can double tap that if I want to quickly go to mail.
Phone.
And I have the phone running, and I have a bunch of other applications running. But let's say if I don't want to go to one of those applications, but I just want to clear them out of memory to make the phone work a little bit more efficiently, how can I handle that? Well, what I do is I tap twice, but hold my finger down on the screen with the second tap, and I'll hear this.
Editing apps.
And it tells me I'm editing the apps. Now, if I double tap from this point on any app, it will remove it from memory. So,
mail, one new item.
So there's my mail. If I double tap it, it will disappear.
Phone.
There's the phone. If I double tap again, it will disappear out of memory.
Read to go. Double tap to delete. App switcher has no items.
And after I eliminate enough of the applications, it finally tells me the app switcher has no items left in it. So memory is all clear. And now if I swipe left once, I get to a button that says
dismiss app switcher. Double tap to dismiss the app switcher.
And if I double tap it,
calendar, all calendars, calendars, button.
I come back to where I was before I opened up the app switcher. So that's one way of either switching quickly from one application to another if they're already open, or of cleaning up the memory on your iPhone to make it work more efficiently. So one quick note, it did say double tap to delete the particular program. You're not actually deleting the program from your phone in the app switcher, but you're deleting the running instance of the application. So you don't have to worry about losing anything.
So we just talked about how to make sure you don't have too many apps running at the same time. What if you just plain have too many apps installed and there's so many of them, it's hard to keep track of where they all are?
Now, as you acquire more applications for your iPhone, your home screen is inevitably going to fill up with applications, and you'll create a page 2, page 3 of your home screen. And sometimes you'll want to be able to move your applications or icons to places that are more convenient to find. Now, the iPhone lets you do this. It's a little tricky if you can't see, but it certainly is possible. So I'm on page 2 of my home screen, and I'm going to move my finger across the top row to see what 4 icons I have up top from left to right.
Settings, YouTube, Facebook, one new TED.
So I have 4 items up there. And if I move below settings, I see
settings, Twitter.
Twitter is there. Now, how about if I want to have Twitter instead of underneath settings on the left, I want to have it on the right where TED is. What I'll do is I'll take one finger and I'll tap the Twitter icon twice, but I'll hold it down on the second tap until I hear this.
Moving Twitter.
Moving Twitter. Right now, I know I'm in column 1, row 2. If I move up a little bit, it will be on top of settings.
Row on settings. Off settings. Row 1, column 1. Row 1, column 2. Row 1, column 3. Row 1, column 4.
Now I'll move my finger across the screen from left to right from settings to see if I actually move Twitter over to the far right on the first row.
Settings. YouTube. Facebook, Twitter.
And there you see that Twitter is now the last thing on the far right on the top row instead of TED. And what you'll see is that the application you moved is now in the new position, and everything from that position over has been moved over by one position on the screen. The other trick that happens here is if you move an icon on top of another icon, that creates a folder, and then both applications will be in that folder. So if you need more space on your home screen, that's an easy way of creating folders that can contain applications. So you may find those useful. It's a little bit tricky if you can't see, because you really need to have a good sense of the geometry of the screen and where the icons are. As you hear, you get little audio hints that let you know where you are and as you're moving an icon from row to row or column to column.
Now for this week's high-tech item, performing advanced tasks using Siri. We talked about Siri a bit last week, some of the basics. Siri is the built-in personal digital assistant. It uses advanced speech recognition and cloud-based computing to respond to your spoken requests. Well, here's a demonstration of how to use Siri for dictation.
Some people think it's kind of difficult to dictate messages and notes with Siri, but actually there's a few tricks to it that make it a little bit easier. So I've opened up a mail note here, and we're just going to demonstrate how you can write a note with punctuation and new lines, etc. So I'm in the message body of a blank mail note, and as it says, I should double tap, and then I can edit the mail note. That sound indicates that I'm in edit mode. Now again, I can either use the keyboard, which is sometimes a little clumsy, or the dictate button in the bottom left.
Dictate.
Double tap to start dictation. Two-finger double tap when finished.
So let's try that. Hello there, comma, new line. This is Peter dictating into my iPhone, period. New paragraph. That's a great test, isn't it? Period. Siri really works, exclamation point. New line, signed, Peter.
Thinking. Inserted hello there. This is Peter dictating into my iPhone. That's a great test, isn't it? Siri really works. Signed, Peter.
And there's my note with the proper punctuation and formatting and whatever. So a little bit of testing and experimentation with Siri can produce some reasonably good results. Based on my experience, you'll have a little bit more success if you dictate only a sentence or two at a time and think about what you want to say before you're actually talking to Siri. But it can be done, and it can produce good notes, as you see. It may not work 100% the first time or two, but with a little bit of practice, you can get quite good at it, and Siri can get pretty good at recognizing what you have to say. And as usual, let Google be your friend. There are lots of tips for how you can use Siri more effectively with your iPhone.
And if you don't want to ask Google, you can ask Siri, what can you do to get a full list? We played this last week, but here it is again for a reminder.
Just press the home button for a second and say, Siri, what can you do?
You said, Siri, what can you do? You can ask things like, call Brian, phone, launch photos, app launching, tell Susan I'll be right there, messages, set up a meeting at 9, calendar, did the Giants win, sports, give me directions home, maps.
We've taken to using Siri for lots of things, even I have, because although I can see just fine, some of these tasks require enough keystrokes that frankly, it's easier to use Siri. So for example, if I want to set up a reminder, yeah, I can do that with all the keystrokes, or I can just tell Siri something like, remind me to turn off the sprinkler at 4 p.m., and it'll set up a reminder. If you want to set an alarm for tomorrow morning, wake me up at 7:30 tomorrow morning. And bingo, it's right there. It's great. You can open apps using Siri and all sorts of stuff. If you missed any of the links we've given, they'll all be in our show notes, which is on our website at www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1246. Next week on Viewpoints, we have a special treat. We will be talking with Yolande Bavan, who's narrated literally hundreds of books for the National Library Service, about her experiences as a narrator and what goes into narrating books. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.